Thank you, Kingsley, for having me in your home. It's always a pleasure to be here. Just a couple of weeks since your latest book came out, and your readers are already excited about this very timely subject. Could you please introduce us to the idea behind the Healing the Wounded Mind?
Yeah, thank you, and good to have you here. The book is called Healing the Wounded Mind, The Psychosis of the Modern World and the Search for the Self. It's quite a different book from what I've usually written and published in the past. From a sociological perspective, I've often written about consciousness in its evolving potentials. That is the positive side of how consciousness is moving towards new paradigms of perceptions and how it affects social systems and the way people are thinking. But I've often looked at the, as I said, the positive progressions of how we're becoming more connected to our emerging consciousness. Now, when I came to this book, I realized that, well, I've done quite a few research in that area, but there's still something fundamentally wrong with the world. And we all sense it. There's a sense of underlying unease in the world, especially now. Especially in the last couple of decades, where I think there's a certain dissonance has accelerated, and this dissonance is coming out not only in our political speak, but also the narratives in the media, a lot of the news, a lot of social events, and also we're recognizing that I think in a lot of the narratives between people that there's some kind of disruption, something's not quite right. The world is going upside down. And so I want you to look at that and look at how maybe our individual minds are being influenced by a collective narrative which is influenced in us in a perhaps not so good way. And so the idea is that our mind is actually slightly wounded. It has a certain trauma, and we need to heal that in order to move forward. Because if we don't, then we are participating in what I've called a mass psychosis. So I look at this, my perspective on consciousness, and I think it's important to state that, is that consciousness is not a byproduct of the human mind or brain. It's not a product of the complexity of the brain's thinking. And I've studied this before in my other work, is that my understanding is that the brain acts more like a kind of receiver. It receives from the external environment a lot of information. It decodes that, and according to our cultural conditioning, our upbringing, our own personal context, we interpret that. So we receive very similar external information, and then we process it, we interpret it, and then we put it out as coming from our minds. So as the saying goes, information in, information out. If we're receiving bad information, we can only process that in a certain way. So there's two levels here. I think one is underlying, and that's the kind of collective consciousness or collective unconscious, as the depth psychologist Jung called it. And then there's the collective consciousness, which is being externalized upon the world through our social media, through our communications, and these days through the internet largely. So on one level, I think we're tapping into a collective underlying, let's say, sense or information, and which is slightly corrupted, which is why I call it the wounded mind. And I looked at certain traditions about that, four traditions specifically. One was a Native American tradition, and they called this wounded thinking the Wetiko virus. The second one was looking at shamanic understanding, the teachings of Don Juan, as put forth by Carlos Castaneda. And Don Juan speaks of a predator's mind or an alien mindset. The third one was the collective unconscious, or the collective unconscious shadow, from Jung. And the final one is from Steiner, Rudolf Steiner, who beginning of the 20th century was talking about an Aramanic mindset, or a mindset of deep, profound materialism and anti-spiritual evolution. And so looking at those traditions, they all show, I think, the picture from different angles. And the picture is that there's a certain energy. We can call it a program or a corruption or a code or a certain type of narrative, an underlying corrupted mythology, we could say, that's entered, I think, the collective unconscious or the collective conscious, let's say, which is not totally visible. And our minds pick this up and we start to behave from that. And then, I think what's happening now at this present stage of our history, which is these two forces that are coming together, this internal underlying narrative is now being given a platform, a stage to externalize it, which is the world stage, the internet, for example, because of our global communications. And then we are parading this wounded mind very visibly, externally upon the world. And so we're all kind of, it's like if you enter the playground as a child and you have a certain idea or opinion, you know, if you're like the dominant child on that playground, or even to say the playground bully, you want to convince all of the children around you to agree to what you're saying, you agree to your opinion, your mindset. And so I think that's almost what's going on. There's a kind of mental bullying going on in the world right now to everyone to adhere, or as many people as possible, to adhere to a certain mindset. And that mindset is a very corruptive one. It entails a very materialistic dogma, a very kind of industrial one of continued growth, of resource depletion. But it's also one of looking at the world in a way where we don't actually understand our potential. We actually blocked from understanding human potential. We are programmed to be in a kind of mental and then therefore physical servitude. We adhere to a system which wants to socially manage us to a large scale. And this, as I've indicated in the book, goes through our compulsory schooling, which is based on a paradigm of creating a kind of obedient class to then go into an obedient workforce, which I call a kind of extended childhood. Our adulthood is really an extended childhood, and that childhood is based on arrested development of the human mindset. So we continue in our adult lives to play out a constricted perception of the world. We can call it arrested development mentally. I think it's also a constrictive perception. We are operating on a lower bandwidth of our human potential. And that is the corrupted, wounded mind. We are operating in a very constricted, lower bandwidth of understanding our true potential. And that then gets played out by the larger narrative into a kind of mass psychosis. I think the main point that I've indicated in the book is that this psychosis, we don't recognize it because it's become normalized in our social systems. It becomes normalized in all our institutions, from schooling to work to family, to our legal institutions, and into our global legal institutions. So when something gets normalized, we don't see it as being an anomaly. And we're living in this false normalization. And therefore, you know, as the well-known phrase says, if you don't see the prison bars, you don't realize you're in a prison. And we are in a kind of mental prison. And we need to break out of that. We need to search for our essential self and therefore our essential potential. And that's, in a nutshell, although I've probably gone on a bit too long, is about what the book is aiming at. So just to finish off, the book has three sections. The first section is outlining what this wounded mind narrative is, going into these various traditions that I've mentioned, and also how it's played out into this kind of metaphysical or mental malaise. The second section of the book is looking at how this narrative of the wounded mind operates through our institutions, going through our media, our hyper-modern societies, our external platforms, our entertainment, and really how it operates through our so-called modern era. And the final third part of the book is looking, as I said, for the search for the self, looking through our personal and collective transcendence to a more essential understanding of who we are and what we can be and where we need to go to. In the introduction to the book, I stated that the book didn't want itself to be written, that I felt a kind of struggle to write it because of the nature of its subject, and I felt forced to write it, but it didn't come so easily as some previous books. And that's true, because actually in a lot of my earlier books, some people have wanted to make a critical statement saying that sometimes am I a Pollyanna, wanted to put a positive spin on things, like this is the evolution of consciousness, we're going in this direction. And true, I've been wanting to focus on the positive aspects of human consciousness. The reason why this book was more difficult to labor, to put into being, was because there are some less positive, more negative elements of human consciousness, the trauma, the wounding. And so that perhaps gave a initial difficulty in producing the book. But I think it's very important that unless we're aware of something, then we cannot change it. And the book is really a kind of showing of this awareness. It's not focusing on the negative, it's making us aware of it so we can move on to dealing with it. So I just wanted to say that I don't focus on the negative as a person, but in this instance I felt it necessary to make the situation aware in order to heal it, because unless you know that the patient is sick or has an illness or a virus, you won't seek to bring yourself back to health.